The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
To God's presence this morning in this first service, and I know that God will give you a lasting encounter in Jesus' name. We are on the day 11 of this Dominion Fast, mid-year fast, and we are grateful to God for how far He has brought us. And I know somebody is excited that tomorrow the mid-year fast is over. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Grace to push through, the Lord will give to you in Jesus' name. Well, it's an anointing service, anointing for financial dominion and prosperity. Anointing for financial dominion and prosperity. And I'll be speaking on prospering in times like this. Prospering in times like this. What is prosperity? Prosperity is a state of godly well-being. Prosperity is a state of godly well-being. Number two, what is prosperity? Prosperity is having enough of divine supplies to meet your divine assignment. Prosperity means having enough of resources to meet your divine assignment. That is, you have enough consignment for your assignment. Number three, what is prosperity? It's prosperity means flourishing, thriving in finances and all good fortune. Again, prosperity means flourishing, thriving in finances and all good fortune. And number four, what is prosperity? Prosperity is the ability to meet not only your needs, but the needs of others. That is, you have become a blessing to others. Number four, what is prosperity? Prosperity is ability not only to meet your own personal needs, but to meet the needs of others. That is, you have become a blessing to your generation. Beloved, I want you to know that redemption is not for reduction. Being a Christian is not a calling to poverty. Being a Christian is not a call into being a nonentity. Being a Christian is not a call to reduce your life, but to increase your life. Quickly this morning, why does God want us to prosper? I'll give us four in the first service, and also we go further into another different set of four in the second service. Why does God want us to prosper? Number one is that prosperity is one of the reasons why Jesus came to the world. He came to save us. He came to heal us. He came to do many things, and one of it is prosperity. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. One of the major reasons why Jesus came is to enrich you. The same package that brought salvation is the same package that brought prosperity. The same package that brought health is the same package that brought prosperity. Two major things devastate human beings. Loss of health and loss of wealth. They devastate human beings. May you not be a rich person of yesteryears. Say louder, amen. Amen. May you not be a healthy person of yesteryears. Did I hear somebody say amen? These two major things, it devastates people. People that have been strong before and then all of a sudden they are not strong again. Or somebody who was blessed before, and somebody, all of a sudden is looking for who to give him something to eat. That will never happen in your family. Say it louder, amen. Number two, why does God want you to prosper? He wants you to prosper. God wants you to be comfortable and blessed. He wants you to prosper so that you can be comfortable. Somebody say comfortable. Somebody say comfortable. Somebody say comfortable. He wants you to be comfortable and blessed. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, the thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God wants you to be comfortable. He wants you to be comfortable and blessed. It's easier to serve God with comfort than to serve God with discomfort. How many of us believe that? It's easier to serve God with comfort than to serve God with anguish. It's easier to serve God with money in your pocket than to serve God with sand in your bag. Number three, why God wants you to prosper. Number three is that God wants you to prosper because he wants to spread the gospel everywhere. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. Zechariah 1 verse 17. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord, my cities, true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall comfort Zion and shall choose Jerusalem. My city, true prosperity, shall be spread. It takes prosperity to spread the gospel. It takes wealth. You don't want to know how much is spent in this church every month to keep things running. You don't want to know. Every month, every 30, it must be there. Diesel is taking his own. Salaries of staff is taking his own. Lighting and fitting is taking his own. Maintenance of all kinds are taking his own. Buses are taking their own. Batteries and equipments are taking their own. New infrastructures are taking their own. And on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So it takes God, it takes wealth to preach the gospel. No money there can be gospel. Because God, the resources is needed to spread the gospel. You want to open churches? You need money. You want to do crusades? You need money. And that's one of the reasons why God wants you to be wealthy. So that his work can be spread everywhere. So that his work can impact people from place to place. May God give you the wealth that will be useful for his kingdom in Jesus' name. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. And of course, number four, why God wants you to prosper is that he owns everything and he wants to bless you greatly with it. God owns everything. Haggai chapter 2 verse 8. Haggai chapter 2 verse 8. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. He owns everything, and as a good and responsible father, he wants you to have your own share. As a good father, God wants you to have your share of his wealth. Receive your share today. Receive what belongs to you today. The gates of heaven are open to release your resources to you. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Well, in this service, before we go into the anointing session, I'll be showing us essential for prosperity. We look at one in this service, and we look at another one in the second service. Essential for prosperity. And in this service, the first service, we'll be looking at right thoughts and mindset. Right thoughts and mindset. Proverbs 23 verse 7. Proverbs 23 verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Until you prosper internally, you can't prosper externally. Wealth is actually inside out. Wealth is actually, prosperity is actually inside out. Prosperity is not a function of strength. or inner strength, or strength, or physical strength. Prosperity is a function of inner strength. Beg your pardon. Prosperity is not a function of physical strength, but inner strength. Prosperity is not a function of your physical strength, but your inner strength, your inner thought pattern. Failure in your thoughts brings failure in life. When your thought is poverty, automatically you'll be poor. There's a way rich people think. There's a way poor people think. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we might ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So the power that works in you, the thought pattern in you, determines how you will end up. Somebody here will end well in the name of Jesus. Every good fruit you see on a tree is a function of its roots. When you see a tree and has roots and has fruits, the fruit comes from the kind of depth that and the kind of roots that tree has. If you are a witness to that, say a big amen. So when you see a fruit, it comes from the roots. Your thought is the root that bear fruits of your life. Your thoughts is the root that bear fruits of your life. And what is under the ground produces what is on the ground. What you cannot see is what is producing what you can see. What is in your heart, which others cannot see, is what is producing what they can see. So it all starts from your thought pattern. In a few of my offices here, I did a signage of Proverbs 4 verse 23, and I look at it every day. I have one also here. Proverbs 4 verse 23, guide thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I look at it every day. Every blessed day. Because your heart, your thoughts is what will produce what will happen in your life. If you will be wealthy, you will think wealthy thoughts. If you will be poor, you will think poor. Guide your heart. Guide your thoughts. Don't think it's not possible. Don't think things are so difficult. Don't think that nobody can be rich in a good way. Don't think that everybody has to be a criminal to be wealthy. Don't think that everybody is stealing money. Everybody is into stealing government money. That's why they have money. How can somebody have money in Nigeria without stealing? That is the thought that is affecting you. Well, for somebody here today, God is giving you a brand new thought. Your invisible thought creates your visible life. Your invisible thoughts is what creates your visible life. So watch your thought every day. Guide your thought every day. Watch the kind of things that goes through your mind if you want to ever prosper in your career, in your business, in your academics. Guide your heart. Don't allow anything to tell you that you cannot do well. If it take roots, it bear fruits. If it can take root, it will bear fruits. If you can allow it to stay, it will be there. And it will be there for as long as it is uprooted. Somebody is here this morning. Your thought pattern is changing for the better. I say your thought pattern is changing for the better. I say your thought pattern is changing for the better. Well, I'll be showing us this morning how to assess the right thoughts for financial dominion. How to assess the right thoughts for financial dominion. Number one is get the right information. John chapter 8 verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Don't assume knowledge. An investment in knowledge pays the highest interest. Your investment in knowledge is what pays the highest interest. How can you be in a business and you don't have books on your business? How can you be in a trade and you don't read concerning your trade? How do you want to prosper in it? Information is vital to transformation. Information is vital to elevation. Information is vital to acceleration. Information is vital to dominion. Friends, if your desire is to dominate financially and to excel in that career, that business of yours, you must go for information so that you can escape deformation. Somebody with me this morning, shout a big hallelujah. Without adequate information, there can never be a transformation. What will make a difference between your life now and your future is the information you are getting. The problem of this economy, or the problem in the nation, is not really the economy. It is the mind of the people. If the mind is negative, there's no way life can be positive. Most Nigerians believe that if they don't dupe others, they can't excel. Most Nigerians believe that if they don't cheat somebody small here and there, they can't do well. You don't need that. Get enough information. You are on a flight. If somebody has excelled before, find out what took them to excel. Humble yourself to read their books. Humble yourself to find out what it takes. Keep getting information. Keep acquiring information. Don't be lazy. Because getting information requires hard work. It's hard work. You have to sit down. You have to watch closely. Then you are getting information. I pray for somebody this morning that God will give you information that will change your life in the name of Jesus. God will give you information that will change your life in the name of Jesus. I say God will give you information that will change your life in Jesus' name. Say louder, amen. Young ladies here, don't marry a man because of handset. Marry him because of mindset. Don't marry a man because of his handset. Marry him because of his mindset. Handset will become stale. You know, there was a time that we had some phones that were reading then. 3310. How many of us know that? Can you imagine that phone? Somebody now giving you that phone as a gift. Eh? Mama, I'll give you that phone on your birthday on Tuesday as a gift. Eh? Will you say thank you to me for that? It has become stale. Marry somebody because of his mindset, not his handset. Because everybody is a product of their mindset. Friends, it's a new day for you today. The information that will be coming for you today will change your life permanently. I say it will change your life permanently. Number two, or B. Beloved, don't forget, I'm speaking on how to access right thoughts for financial dominion. And I said number one is get right information. Number two is embrace the word of God. Make the word of God your companion. Always. The best source of information for financial dominion is the word. The word tells you who you are and what you are in Christ. For example, in Job 22 verse 29, the Bible says, when men are saying there's a casting down, you will be saying there's a lifting up. That's the word of God. When others are saying there's no business, you will be saying there's business. When others are saying they are sacking people, retrenching people, they will be promoting you. That's the word of God. That's what the word of God says. When churches are saying we can't find people in church, then another church will be saying, our overflow has to be expanded. Embrace. I don't care what people say, I care what the word of God says. I don't care what the presidents of nations are saying. If this word says I will prosper, I will prosper. If this word says I'm not permitted to be sick, I'm not permitted to be sick. Well, is over 10 years running now. There's no absence from service on one single day on a platform of sickness. Not one day. In over 10 years. What are we saying? The word of God is true concerning your life. That is what the word of God has said is what you should hold on to. Get ready. Resources will be coming to you like it has never come before. There will be a rush of blessings into your life. I said there will be a rush of blessings into your life. The more you embrace studying the word, the more you know the right path to follow. The more you embrace studying the word, the more you embrace studying the word, the more you are able to channel your way to financial dominion. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you meditate therein day and night. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The word is key to your dominion. The word, when I get to a junction in life and I don't really know what to do, I just go to the scripture and I begin to search. Father, what are you saying over this matter? What is the issue over this matter? What is the way forward on this matter? And then I get it, because the Bible has solution to every situation, including financial hardship, including financial insufficiency. Get ready. As you study the word endlessly in the course of this past and beyond, there will be a solution to all those bugging questions. There will be answers to all those bugging questions. I said there will be answers to all those bugging questions. Say a louder amen. Number three, pathway to right thoughts for financial dominion is associate correctly. If you want to be wealthy, associate correctly. It's not pride. Associate with those who are also thinking properly. Thinking progress. Thinking expansion. Thinking advancement. Thinking success. Thinking dominion from sea to sea. Somebody's here, get said. You will no longer be a champion on your street. You will be a national champion. You will no longer be a local government champion. You will be a national champion. Your influence will transcend your immediate environment. I didn't hear your amen. I didn't hear your amen. I believe it's an aberration for an unbeliever to have more dominion than us as believers. It's not right. It's not right. For a non-believer to be dominating and a believer is just looking like Lucozade. But it happens as a result of your association. When you think with people who don't think success, all of a sudden you become a mediocre. Because the little success you are doing, they are clapping for you. They are clapping. Instead of them to push you, you can do more. They say, we're done. What's it? Your stress is too much. Are you the only one there? What is the problem? Why are you doing all this? Because mediocrity has blindfolded their mind. And they are not going anywhere. So if you are going to a place, it becomes a problem to them. Why are you pushing so hard? Why are you giving yourself stress? What is it, God? Because they are not going anywhere. They have no plan, no vision, no purpose. May the Lord give you the grace to associate correctly. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Don't be deceived. Your friends affect your mindset. Your friends affect your mindset. Your friends are, because you begin to think like your friends. You begin to act like your friends. You begin to behave like your friends. Somebody is here today, you will receive the grace to connect with the correct friends. Not the friends that are always talking to you about what is not. connect with those whose mindset is going somewhere. Who want to scale figures. Who want to win souls. Who have a desire to accomplish something meaningful. They want to affect their generation. They have left child. There are some people, they are adults, but they are still children. There's children stage, there's adult stage, and there's what we call legacy stage. In children's stage, they are taking care of you. In adult stage, you are working and trying to set things out in life. In legacy stage, you are trying to impart others. Those are the stages of life. So you must know the stage you are. May you not be an adult and still be operating as a child. May you not enter the legacy stage of your life and be operating like a child. Say a louder amen. Amen. Say a louder amen. Amen. Say a louder amen. Amen. By the time your children begin to enter higher level of school, you are already entering your legacy stage. So by that time, your focus should be on maximum deployment of your energy towards the advancement of mankind. You don't know the phase of your life you are, you will miss it in life. That's why some people at old age, they begin to cry because they cannot see the purpose of their existence. Friends, my prayer for you today is that you will not live a wasted life. I say you will not live a wasted life. You will not live a wasted life. Associate correctly and then you will make it. Number 1D. On how to think correctly or how to assess the right thought pattern is be a covenant practitioner. Tithing is one of the ways of assessing hope in heavens, according to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. When the Bible is talking about open heavens, it's not that they will open heaven and be dropping rain or dropping money. It's talking about ideas, information. If you want right information and mindset, then you must be committed to the mystery of tithing. Tithing is a very crucial part of our Christian engagement. Tithing is covenant responsibility, just like tax payment is civil responsibility. Tithing is our Christian responsibility, just like tax payment is our civil responsibility. Tithing makes you a law-abiding Christian. If you are not a tither, you are not a law-abiding Christian. You are a Christian that is not operating by the law of Christianity. The main difference between the wealthy believer and the poor believer is tithing. Look at Jacob, for example. In Jacob, in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 20, Jacob was speaking there. Genesis 28, verse 20 to 23. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I will come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou give me, I will surely give you a tenth of it. That was the life of Jacob. He was a man addicted to tithing. And because of that, he never lacked ideas. His father-in-law, Laban, changed his salary 10 times, like saying, I will pay you 100,000. Eventually, he paid him 70. I will pay you 40,000. Eventually, he paid him 12,000. He changed his salary, downgraded it 10 times. Yet, he never lacked ideas. In Genesis 30, verse 37 to 43, he received ideas that brought him dominion. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of hazel, and of chestnut, and peeled white stakes in them, and made the white appear, which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flock in the gutter, in the watering trough, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived. Can you imagine that? Conceived. Before this time, he told the father-in-law the deal. All the ring-straight animals that had marks and all that would be mine. All the ones that had white and all that would be yours. You know what the father-in-law did? He collected everything that was Jacob's own and went to keep it somewhere. And the Bible says he put 3 days' journey between Jacob and his son. So that, can you imagine 3 days' journey? That's like from here to, is it my degree or where? 3 days' journey between his son and the things that was supposed to be Jacob's. Yet he still receives ideas. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks towards the ring strict and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flock by themselves and put them not onto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutter, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Verse 43. And the man increased, you will increase. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and made servants and men servants and camel and asses. What made Jacob? Divine ideas. Where did divine ideas come from? Consistency in tithing. The business you are doing has the capacity to grow and expand if you are in covenant. There are basically two types of covenant practice. There is personal tithing, and that's what we call corporate tithing. You have your salary, you tithe it, and if you have a business, your business has a tithe card of its own. This just opens you up. It just opens your business to a new level of blessing. Devourers try to come in, they can't come in. If they ever come in, what they eat, God returns it to you like a million folds. Every believer that will enjoy financial dominion must be consistent in covenant practice. Must be consistent in covenant practice. If you are a believer and things are very tough, watch your covenant practice. It's not going on well. If it's going on well, it's unlikely that you have financial problems consistently. Inconsistency in covenant practice is one of the major problems of believers. And I know that somebody is here today. The grace that will bring forth this consistency will come for each one in the name of Jesus. Many years ago, I would never preach on tithing or on giving. If I preach 1 year sermon, I will never talk on tithing and giving. Never. And then one day, God spoke to me and said, you don't want to teach this thing. Yet you are doing it. You want these people to be poor? I said, God, I don't want them to feel like maybe. He said, no, it's not. Just say your own. The Bible said, the poor will always be in your midst. Those that will never listen will never listen. If you teach it from now to tomorrow, those that will never listen. Is a gimmick. They want to steer us off so that we can. For what? For what? I want to encourage us here today to plug in. When you plug in, it will show. If you plug in, it will show. If you are consistent in tithing, it will show. You don't need to say it. It will show. If you don't plug in, it will also show. It will show. My friends, I pray for somebody here today. May the spirit of obedience come upon us in Jesus' name. I say, may the spirit of obedience come upon us in the name of Jesus. May the grace to obey this instruction, may it come upon us in the name of Jesus. You are exempted from amongst the poor. I say, you are exempted from amongst the poor. And your name is permanently amongst the wealthy. In the name of Jesus. I'll be saying some things in the second service which I will not have the time to say here in this first service. Because poverty stinks. Poverty is a bad thing. It brings a lot of things. I'll say more in the second service because we'll have more time then. I and you don't want to be a part of it. So be wise enough and hide your head under the covenant. Be wise enough and hide your head under the covenant, or continue to make phone calls here and there asking for assistance. But for somebody here today, you are the one that will be a giver. I say, you are the one that will be a giver. You are the one that will be a giver. You are the one that will be a giver. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. That will be your testimony. Well, it's also an anointing service. And in the course of the service, we read from Isaiah 45 from verse 1 to 5, which is our call to worship. And the Bible says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, I am the God of Israel. One of the major forces for wealth is called the anointing. And what does the anointing do? It breaks the yoke of a circle of poverty. Anointing breaks the yoke of the cycle of poverty, that is inherited poverty, inherited trend of negativity. That's what it does. It just comes in and breaks the yoke. Then you position yourself through the covenant and it flows endlessly. My prayer for someone here today is that via the anointing of this morning, the cycle of negativity, the circle of debts, the circle of poverty in your life shall be broken in the name of Jesus. I say the circle of debts in your life shall be broken in the name of Jesus. The circle of borrowing shall be broken in the name of Jesus. The circle of empty accounts shall be broken in your life in the name of Jesus. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a louder amen. No parent here will be poor. I say, no parent here will be poor. One day, a father went to school when the child was graduating and some people were receiving awards, and the father said, see the children, good children. How many here? Good children. See them. See how they are collecting awards. So when they were going home, they entered into their jalopy car, bringing out smoke. You have to start it like 20 times and pump fuel. Have you entered that kind of car before? You pump fuel like this. There are some cars outside, you press it, it will start. There are some cars, your leg will almost remove muscle. So after the car eventually started, they started moving. And then some parents also entered their car with, and the child also say, Baba Nye. Eh? See Baba, see fathers too. And the father looked at him like this. The children of nowadays, they are also very wise. No parent here will have problem in paying his child's school fees. No parent here will have a problem in taking care of the children. What your children will eat will not be a challenge to you. Did I hear you say a louder amen? Well, in a minute, we will be anointing each one here, and I know that God Almighty will bring the anointing of wealth upon you in Jesus' name. From today, you'll be seeing favors that will change your story. Right from today, you'll be receiving favors that will change your story. Right from today, you'll be receiving favors that will change your story. So shall it be. In Jesus' name.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.